Today's daf, Daf Kuf Mem Vav, we got up to the Mishnah already in Amud Aleph, and we will begin with a rousing
Dukta Heilige Mishnah.
Shover Adam et Achavit Lecholi Men Adroglot Bavad Shlo Yitkaven Lasot Kli. Now here's one of the most common problems that comes up on Shabbat. What do you do when you have a closed container? You need to get something out of the closed container. Says the Mishnah, you can take a knife and just open it up. The reason being that you're basically being the kalkel when you slice it open, as long as you're careful that your kavana is not to make a pretty kli that is now reusable. So therefore, there's many different approaches, but the be'ikar, we certainly weren't gozer, even though sometimes there's a dinim mekalkel, we weren't gozer dinim mekalkel in certain kelim, we'll talk about later on what we're referring to, where it comes to hotza'at ochlin. Ve'in lo klin magufa shel chavit divrei Rav Yehuda, whereas when it comes to a cover, that is, remember the way that they made their wine barrels was out of earthenware, they would stick on top of the earthenware, an earthenware cover, which was then sealed around with cement to make it basically as one kli. So you cannot make now a hole in the magufa shel chavit, because even though the maisa is a strange way of getting the wine out, make a little hole in the top and then pour it out of the hole, but nonetheless, over there, since you're being mechaven to make a nice kli with a opening, says Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to do that. Because it's not a usual petach. That's not the way you would normally pour your wine. We'll get into the details of where precisely this hole is. And therefore, again, we weren't gozer because it's more of a mekalkel than a metakin kli. V'lo yikvena mitzida. However, everybody seems to be made it. That you can't make a hole in the side of what isn't clear, the side of the magufa, the side of the chavit, all that will become clear in the Gemara. V'im haita nekuva, furthermore, if there was already a hole in this barrel, then lo yitein aleha sha'ava, you cannot put in a plug of wax to seal up that hole, because what he does on that wax is he rubs it down afterwards, and that's one of the malachas on Shabbos that is done with the or, which is called memachei kataor. Omar Rabbi Yehuda ma'aseh ba, lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be'arab, someone, it was once a story when he was visiting Saudi Arabia, and somebody pushed in a plug of wax. The Yomar Chosheshani lo Michatat, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I'm chayshish, the guy might even be chayav chatas if he pushed it in and spread the wax with his thumb around the opening tightly. Om Reboshia, when we say over here that you're allowed to break open a barrel in order to eat the dates that are inside, I want to make something very clear, that Loshna Ela Drusot. The only time that the Mishnah was matir picking up a knife to cut off the top of the chavit is where anyway you had to pick up this knife in order to be able to cut through the dried dates, because grogrot are very tightly packed if they're drusot, and they just became like one solid piece of material, and then you would take a knife, a saw even, to cut through it. So once you're picking up the saw for that purpose, which is for its main sorach, you can use the saw to saw through the top of the chavit. Aval mefuradot, if you're talking about now where you have separate perot inside, then you don't have a right to pick up the knife at all for a purpose which is other than its primary purpose. Clearly, what Rav Oshia is saying is he's assuming the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Nechemya, for some reason, which we'll have to clarify later. And remember that Rabbi Nechemya Shita in Mukta is, nothing can be moved if not for the purpose for which it was primarily made. And this, even if it's a Klisha Malachta Laheter, And since a knife is made for usually for eating purposes and not for sawing through the top of your tuna fish can, mamela, you wouldn't be allowed to pick up the knife anyway. If you picked up the knife in order to cut through now the pressed dates, fine, that's something else. Then you could already use it to cut through the barrel. May say, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, maybe Adam et achavit shayayinu metiz rosh abisayim. Does Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel say you could bring a new barrel of wine, take out a nice samurai saw, sword, and flick it straight across the top? It's a very, very lovely way. I mean, that definitely gives you a feeling of drink up, boys. Very broad way of bringing in your wine. I don't know if your dad ever used a samurai sword for that kind of thing, but
circumcisions,
I don't think would be the way to go. But this is definitely a very broad, I mean, unless you're practicing on the name of your team, then of course there'd be no problem.
That is where I train.
Yeah. So the problem is that you shouldn't be allowed to use the sword for this purpose. It says you can put it in front of the Orchim, they know Choshesh. What's your question, obviously? I mean, why would Rav Shimon ben Gamliel be going according to Nechemya? That's the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold of a Klisha Malachta Laheder. What's the problem? Is it, even if it was a Klisha Malachta Laheder, what's the problem? No. The Mishnah, however, is Rabbi Nechemya. And therefore, it's got to be talking about a knife that you had picked up in order to cut through the contents of the barrel anyway, which are pressed and therefore must be cut. So that's why I said it's got to be talking about pressed fruit, not loose fruit.
So the barrel contains
this very tight fruit. I understand. Why do you make life difficult for yourself, Rabbi Yeshua? What is pushing now, Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Oshia, to claim that the Mishnah is going according to Nechemya? That's a given. And therefore, it's got to be talking about pressed fruit. What's bothering you? Let it not be talking about pressed fruit and going according to Rabbanan. I understand. Look, maybe Mefuradot, Rabbanan, Amar Rava, because he had a problem with the Mishnah. If you take a look at the Mishnah, Matnita Kashita, he was bothered by the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah mention grogrot, Bichlal? What is it, grogrot? Just say, a barrel of fruit. Does it matter to me that they're grogrot, the dry fruit, the fresh fruit? What's the difference? Let's say peirot. Elashmamina bidrusot. Clearly, the only reason to mention grogrot is because the derech is to press and to get a cake out of it. Now, their cakes used to be the size of an entire barrel. Then they would break it open and they would cut. So why would that be? Must be, it's going out, Leva the Rebbe Nechemya. Okay, gentlemen, it was pretty good today. I guess we're ready to start tomorrow. Oh, sorry, Richie, you missed the whole thing. I can't believe I missed the whole thing.
I can't believe I missed it. The Yisrael
Museum
had,
I can't hear you.
The Yisrael Museum had a 2,000-year-old pot. It said Dalit Bet Lavin on the outside, so you know it's the and so pressed and crushed.
How large was it?
Not this thing. It wasn't a
thing. Don't say but this. People are listening.
Cut this thing as a small punch bowl.
A small punch bowl. Very good. It's clear that we're going to have to switch to video. I mean, this is ridiculous. That's true.
If we get a video, we'll
plug it in. That's it. We're not going video. That's as bad as fruit soup. So, therefore, we learn that it's talking about, Bosh, it's talking about according to Rabbi Nechemya. Tanya Chada, Chotalocho Grogrot Vishal Tumarim, Matir Umafkia Vichote. This is an extremely contemporary sugya, because as Rav Moshe Feinstein pointed out, Chotalocho Grogrot are the modern equivalent of one time use kelim. Because what they would do is they would make, and you see this very often, they would make these very loose containers that were made out of the actual leaves of the tamar tree. And you make these one-time throwaway baskets loosely out of it, in which you can put the dates, and you let it there, let it sit there until it gets ripe and full, and then you rip it open, and you basically eat. So now the question is, can you cut open the baskets? These things are, you seal them up, basically by tying with the actual pieces of the tree. And with the thin branches and so on. So what would be the din over there? Says the Gemara, look, we bring a number of different brises. One of the brises says that if you have chotalot of grogrot or of tzmarim, matir, umafkia, v'chotech, you could basically untie them. You could pull them apart. Mafkia generally means to take something which has been twisted into a thread and to pull apart the thread. Now, generally speaking, pikia is the opposite of spinning, and therefore it would be a malacha. And he's saying over here, unspinning, untwisting, rather. Says over here that you could even be mafkia. Now, many hold that you can't literally be mafkia, but when it says mafkia, then there means basically cutting through each piece separately. However, it's clear that there are those who consider this to be mafkia mamash. Either the reason is because this is not really spun thread. After all, it's twigs more rather than threads. It doesn't have really a din midiraisa of spinning or of undoing a spinning. And the mela, as we said before by the kalim, we are not gozer when it comes to the kalim. We are not gozer things that are mekalkel. V'chotech, and then you could just take a knife and you could cut through also. Whereas another braita says, v'tanya yidach, matir, you could undo the knot over here if it was tied with some kind of rope, but you cannot be mafkia, and you cannot cut. Now, what would be the basis? I mean, matir is also normally a malacha d'oraisa if it's done with a real knot. So clearly, the issue over here is not whether we're makpid under rabbanans of mekalkel when it comes to kalim, but rather whether you're allowed to pick up the knife to cut. And therefore, ha rabbanan v'ha Rebbe Nechemia, the Tanya Rebbe Nechemia Omer, afilu tarvad, vafilu talit, vafilu sakin. Look, I don't care what you're talking. You could be talking about the most innocuous kli in the world. Something that you use all the time. Something that you put on your back. Something that you use to cut your cheese with. I don't care what you're talking about. You can't pick it up for some purpose other than its main purpose. You want to take your talit, you want to use it to cover an open chumash. You can't do that. It's mukta. A talit is meant for wearing. Any talit ella letzarach tashmishan. And therefore, in this case, how could you go ahead and cut if you don't have a knife to cut with? Now, obviously, we don't paskin like Rabbi Nechemia, as we've already seen earlier in the Masechet, in which case it seems to be saying over here that there is no problem in doing any of these types of things, from which Reb Meisha Zatzal came to the conclusion that if you're dealing with one-time use cans and things like that, you can do whatever the heck you want. You can open up the can on Shabbos. Okay, maybe don't be metaken. A nice opening for it, like it says over here. You want to be machmer, that it's more like a chavis. But the chotalot seem to be even less than a chavis because they're one-time usages. Now the Chazon Ish l'maaseh was very makbid, and the minhag has come to be very makbid. But the later poskim tainted that the only reason that the Chazon Ish was makbid is because he didn't really view them as one-time usage. Because the fact is, as anybody recalls, at the time of the Chazon Ish, people were very makbid not to throw out in pins. You basically use them to boil your eggs instead of having special. Everybody would use an old tin can to boil the eggs. They didn't have yet the plastic coating on the inside, so they were usable for cooking in. So you don't stomp throw out a tin can. It's like the hobos. You know, a hobo's going to throw out a tin can. So here, 50 years ago, at the time of the Chazon Ish, everybody was a hobo. So you couldn't really view it as chotalot. But Einak Inami, if the Chazon Ish would have seen it as a chotalot, he would have been matir also, the way Rav Meisher was matir. That's what many of the modern poskim are saying. Lemaisa, where you have clearly a one-time use thing that it will not be refilled by anybody. For instance, a soda can. If you have a soda can, which you're going to pull off the top, so you'll say, ah, but if I pull off the top, I'm making a beautiful opening, because it was pre-stamped. But the Kavanah is not to make a beautiful opening. The Kavanah is basically to have the easiest way to open it. It happens to be the easiest way to open it makes an opening, but it's not an opening that is meant to be reused. The whole point of a can is to drink and throw it out. It's very difficult to reuse a can, and that's not what it's for. Mamela, many are matir pulling off the tab without worrying about it. There's some parts of it say, don't pull it off all the way, leave the last bit, so that it's at least you're not mitakene it the way that it was made. But Lamaisa there, that doesn't seem to be much of a problem. Now, this is all based, this stress on the chotalot and the one-time usage, is based on Tosfos' assertion over here that the entire sugya is only talking about mustaki. If you remember, mustaki means bubblegum put together kalim, sort of like Rav Heidemann's old car, in which you have a junk kli that is really throw outable. And the reason that Tosfos says this is based on the Gemara in Eruvin. We have a shaila of if your Eruv is in a container that you're not allowed to get to on Shabbos. The case over there is in a migdal. Then it says over there, so b'makom echad, eruvo b'makom acher. Since his makom shvisa was not inside of the pantry or in the drawer or in the can, so memeil, it's not a kosher eruv. Tosfos says, why isn't it a kosher eruv? According to this, you're allowed to just break the can. Why can't you break? It's a kli. It's not a building, a migdal. Remember, migdal simply means a drawer. Mamela Tosfos says must be talking, and from the sugya it's clear the sugya is mechalik between mustaki and between other kelim. It must be the Gemara is taking for granted the entire sugya here is a reference to mustaki. Because since it's junk, the tikkun of it, there's no chashash of any mokum la tikkun that we would view it as a tikkun kli. With a opening that is yof and so on and so forth. It's not meant for that. It's something that people aren't makbid on. It can be used once, but it's not kedai to put together again. So you're going to empty it out and throw it in the garbage, basically, which is our standard one-time use. Therefore, he compares really this entire sugya to the modern situation of one-time use kelim. However, there are certain kelim where the whole point is to manufacture it in a way that creates the gemar kli by the consumer. Such as, for instance, you have a box of milk. So the box of milk is made so that it can be opened in such a way that you can fold it out and create a spout. Now over there are many who are mocked, but they say that's by definition the osim kli yofen. Because the whole point over there is that this is its gemar, and that you now have a useful container of milk that will stay in your refrigerator for a few days, and you have a nice spout. So therefore you should not open it in the normal way to create a spout, because there went b'vachlo yitkavim lasot kli. Clearly the same thing happens to fruit soup. I see that hand. It's all fruit soup oriented. And the issue where you get into problems is where you get into makabapatish problems, such as the old question of even if it's meant to be ultimately thrown away, the top of a bottle is lamaisa completed when you pull it off of the little plastic perforations and therefore now have a usable top to be reused. So, okay, there are many who are mocked it on that, but kind of that it's maybe mocked it on that.
The bottle is not completed.
The top, the cap. You can ask Rav Meisher. I'd be happy to tell you.
So the V8 cans used to be different.
I don't know. That was when V8 was kosher because people didn't know about clam juice. So.
You talk about gripping your hands and pulling the top off. Is there any difference with the canvas today where you just push the thing in and it's not pulling off?
No, it's even better.
Right, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Unless it contains fruit juice.
Or is it reusable?
It wasn't that we drank it. It was used as a mussel because the can was made with a hole and then the cap came and plugged the hole. So it wasn't being created.
It's even better.
Right. So that was the. Remember, I just remember finding that the VA can is different. Is that what it was?
No, what they used to do is they would have, instead of. They have now a very careful, that wasn't in the within the range of technology in those days, they now actually have the metal itself almost cut through. But that's very, very fine machinery. What they would do in those days, they would cut it through, they would put a plastic piece underneath, and then the top would be attached to the plastic, it could be pulled off, because they couldn't risk cutting through the metal to that point, it would fail too often. Nowadays, it's actually perforated in the metal itself, so it's just at the point of being pulled, and it's the machinery is machined fine enough to be able to do stuff like that. So then the V8 cans, it was expensive, the process. Nowadays, it's nothing. So continues the Gemara. Okay, this is therefore one of the most intensive contemporary sugyas. How far can you go with the tefillah of these various containers that you have? It was a type of car. Type of car. V8. The only thing is it ran on clam juice that they called tomato juice.
Wasn't that from?
I think in South Africa or those places they didn't have stuff like that. It's a purely American experience, let me tell you. Bormine Mirvshashis. Maulam Nivras Havita Baburtia Bishabata. The question is like this. I mean, once Uncle Nady took out his samurai sword, you know, the guests come in and he flicks the top off of it, and it's really impressive. He now is really getting into it, okay? So the question is, can he use a bayonet to puncture the next one? That's already. It's not quite as giving, but it's certainly impressive in terms of its aggressiveness. You know. So would you be allowed to use a bayonet to puncture a chavit? Do we say the pitcha kamichavit v'yasir? This is what he's doing it in the side of the chavit now. So we say, look, his interest is making a real petach. That's the way you would make a petach on the side of the barrel and insert a tube, which then, you know, like what we have or maybe he's just trying to, you know, do it in a big way. I mean, this, you know, it's definitely impressive, so maybe that's all he's trying to do. If he wanted to do it with an ayin yafa, he would go for the gesture, you know, the full scale. I mean, the puncture of the side is basically interested in making a petach, and that's us, as we saw. You have to be careful not to make a petach yafeh. Next favorite, trimming with the olmer mevi adam chavitcho yain umatiz rosha besayin. Doesn't it say that it's okay to cut its head off directly, as we said before, with your sword? Now, I mean, over there you got a nice smooth top if you do it right. Why isn't that called also lepetach kamechavi? No, because hatam vaday la'ayin yafa kamechavi. Over there, I mean the whole idea is that you're trying to show that you're the broad gesture. But over here, in ita the la'ayin yafa kamechavi, you really wanted to just make the show of it. So then liftuchim miftach. Why don't you go all the way? Why don't you take off the top? But you're making a hole in the side. I don't care if you're making it in a grand way with a bayonet. The bottom line is, you were carefully calibrating having a chavis that you could put a berez into the side, and that's a no-no. Ein nokvin legufa shel chavit. So now the machloket in the Mishnah was that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot make a hole in the top of the chavit, not the chavit itself, Whereas the Chachamim say it's mutter. Now clearly the question over here is, how much we're makbid on the derech of asiyat ha-petach. Says Rav Huna, the whole machlokas is if you put it on the top of the cover. The top of the cover. Who puts a hole in the top of the cover which forces you to turn the whole barrel basically almost upside down in order to get it to start pouring? If you're going to make a hole in the cover and you don't want the whole wine exposed, you'd put it in the side of the cover. I mean, remember, the cover is an actual piece of cheres. It's not just a flat top that you sew down, glued down. So, Mamela, you would have made it in the side. And therefore, it's not its derech. So the machloket is lemala of them, and atzad devei kolos. Everybody would be motivated. You put it in the side, that's already pretty convenient. It's true, it's not very low on the barrel, so in order to get the wine out of it, you have to bend the barrel more than you would normally like to. But already, that's a derech of making a hole, and hainu tani lo yikbena mitzita. That's why it says in the Mishnah, but not in the side, meaning not in the side of the magufa. No, not talking about not in the side of the barrel. That for sure you can't do, because that would be a normal petach for a barrel. Rav Chisda Amar, machloket min atzad. On the contrary, the machloket is dafka in making it in the side. With over there, Rav Yehuda says, look, that's already too similar to a real petach, whereas al-gabat, put it on top, that for sure is not the derech of a petach. And there even Rav Yehuda would have been made a divrei hakol mutar. Why does it say I kind of loikana mitzida? Loikana mitzida wasn't referring to the magufa, the covering of the chavit. Loikana mitzida was referring to gufa de chavit, to the actual chavit itself. Over there, that is the derech, and then you put the tap in it, and that for sure you're not allowed to do. Tana rabbana, ein nokvim nekev chadash b'shabbat, ve'im balo sif mosif, to puncture a new hole into a container, that you can do. But if you want to add, if it's already punctured and it's not flowing properly, that's okay. V'yesh omrim ein mosifim. Others learn that you're not allowed even to be mosif, because you can come to be mitaken that way too. And everybody agrees that if you had a hole that had already been punctured and now it was stuffed up, Shavin shen nokvim nekev yashan lechatchila. There's no problem in opening up a previous puncture that someone had put a little bubble gum in to stop. That's already not considered to be making a new petach. V'tanakama maishna min nekev chadash delo. Why did the Tanakama say that you cannot make a new hole? Because the kometakin pitcha. Obviously, he holds that you're not allowed to be metakein mona to make a petach. So what's the difference, marchivo nami? If you're going to expand on an existing one, obviously you're not satisfied with the flow. If you're not satisfied with the flow, so that's also metakein. What's not kamina? Kometakein pitcha. So what's, I mean, logically, there doesn't seem to be really any difference between it. Amar Rabba, I'll tell you why. You have to first understand that the problem of mitaken, in terms of its similarity to binyan, midioraita, it needs to be defined first, because otherwise you're never going to understand this circuit. The truth is that Dvar Torah, kol petach, she'enu asri la'achnis lohutzi, eno petach. Normally speaking, we don't view a petach as being significant unless it's meant both for ingress and egress. Because that's the meaning of a petach in terms of Malach of Shabbos. That's Malach of Machshavos. If it's not really a usable petach in both directions, we don't consider it to be a petach. The Rabbanan were gozer because there's one petach that people don't realize is made the Hotzi B'lahachnis. And that is, people think that when they'll make a hole, let's say, in a lul shel tarnagolim on a hot day, so they think to themselves, I'm just letting some cool air in. But it's not true. What you're really trying to do is exchange gases. So you want what's inside of the lul to go out and the fresh air to come in. So essentially you are talking about in and out. People don't think that way. So in order to avoid that problem, the Rabbanan made a gzeira on even one-way ptachim, because there are one-way ptachim that are really two-way ptachim. And therefore, they made a gzeira about a lul shel tarnagolim da'avid liyule yavira lafuki havala, because you want fresh air in there and the old air out of there. So then, im bala osif mosif, but nonetheless, now you can understand. Even though they made such a gzeira, they didn't aser adding to an existing petach. You know why? Because the whole mocker of the gzeira was lul shel tarnagolim. A lul shel tarnagolim you will not add. The reason is that the original petach is made carefully to avoid rats getting in, because they'll kill the tarnagolim. So the original petach is a size that is usable for gazes, but not for small things that could climb in. You don't want any snakes getting in, you don't want rats getting in, so maybe you're careful not to be mosif. We didn't make a gzera there for an asufe. So if you have a barrel, which has nothing to do with a lul shel tarnagolim, since the mocker of the gzera is lul shel tarnagolim, there's never a gzera on hosafah, because there was no hosafah in the mocker of the gzera, which is lul shel tarnagolim. So therefore, vadai, belul shel tarnagolim, lo ati lu usufe, mishum riksha. Since you're afraid of small predators getting in that will kill your tarnagolim, you're not going to be mosi. The yeshomrim, now of the others hold, that argue, that ain mosifim, why? Because zimna velo takne miikara, there may be times in which it wasn't even properly made in the lul shel tarnagolim, wasn't large enough to let the fresh air in and the old air out, or was too slow, and they were generating more hevel than could be exchanged by the small hole that you made. So then memela, you were afraid that if you were not mitakenu lachatchila, you would come to make a hole that was la'akwis v'lahotzi, and then you could come to diorayta. Memela to la'ruchibe, they also asked all hosafa. Dorash Rav Nachman mishum Rav Yochanan, halacha ki yesh amrim, you have to indeed be careful not to be marchiv, an existing hole in a real, not in mustiki, we've been talking about over here, but rather in those type of things that indeed will be reusable. The shavim shenokvim nekev yashan mechatchila, everybody seems to agree that when it comes to re-puncturing a sealed hole, that's mutter. Om Rav Yonah Meshmul. Now, obviously, that depends how it was sealed. Yeah, bubble gum, I understand. That's not really a sealed hole. I mean, if you rebuilt this thing with epoxy and so on, I mean, then it's even stronger than the original. So, what would be the nafkamina? How do we decide that? We decide that on the terms of the focus of the resealing. You can reseal sometimes to prevent air from getting in, so that it won't spoil. Or you can reseal in order to avoid the pressure of the liquid not forcing its way out. Obviously, it depends where the hole was. If the original hole is above the level of the liquid, you don't need much in the way of closing it up in order to prevent it spoiling. So you just put on something that prevents air from getting in easily. Mashenkin, if it needs to be strong because it's holding the liquid, then you'd have to put a really good seal. That would be us. So that's what our first approach is over here. Ahechi dami lishamer, ahechi dami lechasei. What then would be a hole that is meant lishamer versus a hole that you now needs resealing kidei lechasei? Omrev chistek, depends if it's above the liquid level. Lemala min ayayin zeu lishamer. If all you're interested in doing is keeping the air out, and the hole was above the liquid level of the wine, that's called l'shamer, and we're not makbet on reopening. But l'mata min ayin, if it's below the level of the liquid, then already you're going to have to do it properly, and that's called l'chazek. Whereas Rav Amar, no, even l'mata min ayin, it's below an inch of wine on top of it. How much pressure is added by an inch of wine to the ambient pressure? Almost nothing. It's not a big deal. You're talking about lechazek. You're talking about towards the bottom of the barrel. Towards the bottom of the barrel, you've got some serious pressure that now is going to force out your plug. You can't use a plug of bubble gum. You're going to use a plug that is stronger to try to seal with epoxy. Therefore, says Rava, even the bottom and ayayin, it's also l'shamer. That's just to prevent it from getting ruined. Hey, dami l'chazek. You're already down on the bottom of the barrel where the settled shmarim are, the leaves settle down. There you got heavy duty pressure, and over there you'd have to use epoxy.
Weren't these barrels from Cheres?
Yeah, but you can still epoxy them closed, right? Omale Abayel Rava, Tanya de Misayelach, I got a riot to you. That basically, you got to be talking about a real complete stima in order for something to be called rebuilt, because it says bayit satum yesh lo arba amot paratz pitzimav emo arba amot. If the din is like this, if the number of people own homes that open into a chatzer, they own the chatzer b'shutafut. The moment that they want to split the shutafut, then it's split as follows. Every doorway gets an unloading area extended into the chatzer for a distance of 4 amot, the width of the doorway. So you always get basically a little driveway into the chatzer. Doesn't make any difference if you've got 4 doors and the other guy only has 1 door. You're going to get according to the number of doors in your home. However, if there are doors that have been sealed, so then the sealed door, not meant for use, does not get a driveway. But what defines a sealed door? It says over here, only paratz et pitzimav. If you just bricked up the entrance, that's not called a sealed door, because you can easily reopen it. If you took down now the whole mezuzah area, and now it's became wall, that's called a sealed doorway. Now, by the same token, I would say that you're right when it comes to the barrel. We don't view a resealed barrel just lightly sealed to prevent a little bit of wine from leaking out. A resealed barrel is the equivalent of paratz et pitzimav of a house. The same thing is true when it comes to a mausoleum. What is this? Where you build a bayit around a kever. So then over there is the entire bayit becomes a kever. And the entire bayit is metame around it for arba amot, the way a kever would. So now the question is, what defines such a thing? It has to be sealed. So bayit satum eno metame kos avivav. A sealed home is not metame. With a mason, it is not metame, the entire area. 4 amas outside the way a kever would be. This is a gzeira drabonan, so that kohanim shouldn't accidentally come close and end up becoming tame. So they created a 4 amos area in which it's metame midrabonan. Paratz et pitzimav. So if you just close the door or you bricked up the door, it doesn't have a din now of a kever. But if you were paratz et pitzimav, so what do we see from there? The same idea. Sealing is really something that's got to be clearly part of the binyan, just like you're saying, Rava, when it comes to sealing up a barrel, it's got to be in a place where it's meant to take it. It's tough, and it's going to be like the barrel itself, in which you're going to be able to put pressure on it from the whole contents of the barrel. Now, how about gufta? Now the question is, I've got a hole in my barrel. However I did it, it was there before. I created it in a way that's mutter. Can I stick in the gufta, which is basically now the what did you call it before? On a beer?
Tap.
The tap. Either the tap, or it's just a straw-like device that allows the wine to pour out slowly wherever I want it. So am I allowed to stick that in on Shabbos? Rav Asar v'Shmuel Shari. Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Rav says you're not allowed to stick it in. Shmuel says you're mutter. Now what's the machlokus? Mechatech lechatchila, to cut a piece of reed to use as a gufta, obviously not from the ground, but a raw piece of reed, that's not mechuvah. So everybody agrees you're not allowed to do that, because there you're going to be mitakein to the correct length and so on, and you're not allowed to be mechatech for tikkun on Shabbos. So that for sure is us. Either the hole is already there, or you did it with derech hetter. I mean, depending on the question before about poking a hole. But pashtus, there would be no way to create the hole. We said before that if you really wanted to just open it up, then you would have opened it normally. Must be you want a petach. So we asked it before. Okay, so maybe we have the hole over here. The question is whether we could put it in. So that's for sure they're not arguing about. Who would be mater mechatech lechatchila? Lahadure, what, he already had a tap in it. So what's the problem? Why not? Why should I be allowed to put it in? It was already made from before. That's just the usage of the kli. That for sure is mut. Lo pligi de shari. Question over here is, ki pligi de chaticha, velo mitakna. They're arguing about where it was cut already. Four usages of wine pouring, but you never had taken this particular piece to fit it into this hole to see maybe you need to have it a slightly larger, so you should cut it more towards the edge, and so on. That's the question. So the question is over here, Gezeira. Mandi Yasser. Why did Rav say it's Yasser? Because he says, look, once, if you never tried it before, to never fit this hole, we have to be gozer dilma ati l'michatech l'chatchila. You may come now to try to get it to fit, to cut it at some other point. Let's say it's a little too wide at the far end. You'll cut it further down to let it fit into the hole better. Problem. So therefore, we don't allow you to use it unless it was already used. Mandeshai lo gazvina. Mashayin kein. Shmuel holds. No. For that fight, I'm not chayshish. If it won't fit, you won't use it. Ketanoi. And this seems to be a machlokes tanoi. Ein chotchin shvoferet b'yom tov ve'ein tzarich lomar b'shabbat. You're not allowed to cut to size a shvoferet, which would be normally made out of reeds, on yontov, and obviously not for Shabbos. Nafla, but if it fell out of an akli, there's no problem. There magzirin oto b'shabbat ve'ein tzarich lomar b'yom tov. There you could even put it back in on Shabbos. For sure on Yom Tov you could put it back in. Whereas Rabbi Yoshia is Mekel. Now, what does that mean, he's Mekel? How much Mekel is he? Was Rabbi Yoshia, what was he referring to? Was he referring to the ration? Was he saying that I'm Mekel, that you could even cut it and form a straw on Shabbos? L'chatchila. I mean, hakam etakein mana. Why would he be Mekel for tikkun mana on Shabbos? Ela a seifa, he's got to be going on the seifa part. So, but the Tanakhama said it's mutter. How could it be more mekel than mutter? I mean, that's pretty good. You know, the chora, it's already done. The Tanakhama also was matir. Ah, must be that there's a middle case which is not being mentioned b'feirush. That's the point. So there, the nafkemina between Rabbi Yoshia, who's making more than the chachamim, is like this: the chaticha velo mitaknai kebinayel. They're arguing about a case where it was cut before Shabbos. Now you never had used it in this particular barrel. Can you stick it in or not? So the Tanakhama that said, "Well, no, I'm not going to be mako that far," they held like Rav. So Marsava Gazrina, where's Rabbi Yoshia, Savalo Gazrina? Once it was already cut, I don't have to worry about cutting it again in order to get it to fit the hole. Dorash Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi Mishveda Rav Yochanan, Halachik Rav Yoshia, that's how we pass it like Rav Yoshia, and there's no problem of the Gezerah, which is basically the way that Shmuel Paskin over here, that it's mutter to put it in, even for the first time. V'im haita nikuva, if there was a hole in the barrel, you cannot seal it up, because, with wax, because we're afraid that that's already like memachek et ha'or, that would be an isidir aiser, and a whole maisa in Arabia with Rabbi Yochanan. Now, how about if you've got mishra? Could you use Vaseline? I understand that wax basically is hard. You know, so the fact that you can move it, you basically, I mean, you warm it with your finger and you move it around the edge, I could see that as mamachet. But Vaseline, I mean, over there, it's, yeah, for all intents and purposes, I mean, it's almost liquid. Rav asar, v'shmul shari. Mandi asar, the reason that Rav says it's asar, is gezera mishum sha'ava. He holds, once you'll be matir Vaseline in a tiny hole, people will come already to use sha'ava, which is real mamachet. Umandi shari lo gazrin, which Shmuel holds, we don't have to answer that. Omele Rav Shmuel bar Bar Chana l'Rav Yosef. Remember that Rav Yosef unfortunately became ill and forgot a lot of his own Torah. So very often we find that his Talmidim would remind him of the Piskei Halachos that he had said to them in earlier years. So Rav Shmuel bar Bar Chana told Rav Yosef, "Beferush amarta lan mishmei derav, you quoted Rav Beferush as saying mishma shori, that you could use Vaseline to plug up a hole." Omer Tavas Rishpa Omer Shmuel. Tavas Rishpa would come across him very often. He was a trapper and very versed in halachas that had to do with camping, trapping, and dinim of animals. So he quoted a psak of Shmuel as saying, you know, if you're out camping and you've got basically a small barrel, and we have. And you have no gufta with you. So how are you going to pour your wine? So what you would normally do is you would take a leaf, nice tough leaf, and you would twist the leaves into the equivalent of a straw and plug it into the hole so that the wine could flow. You gotta think on your feet in these situations. So Mamela, I want you to know that Shmuel paskin for me that you can't do that. You can't put a leaf into the hole because my time, I mean, what would be, what's the yisur? So obviously it's talking about that you weren't cutting the leaf on Shabbos. My time, Rabbi Yemar, midiftyam egzera bishum marzev. Once we allow you to do that, we're already afraid that you'll make a real marzev. There's a sheet in Taisvis who takes this to mean a real marzev, meaning a gutter pipe, if we allow you to do this on Shabbos. So then, when you got a problem or a rainstorm, you say, well, what's really the difference between making a gutter on Shabbos or making a little flaw? It's exactly the same thing. So you'll do the same thing for your roof? No. If that's the case, says Taisvis, so why aren't we be geyser on the gufta also? Therefore, the point is, it doesn't mean a marzev for your roof. It means to be betaken, a real metal, or not metal, but even a straw, to cut it so that it would be a real tikkun, and then already we're makbid. So memela, in order to avoid that, we don't allow you to use just a leaf that was hanging around. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi says no. It's the same old gezerah that we had by the case of the shvoferet. Gezerah shema yikton. We're afraid that you're going to actually cut it here, and by the Allah, you got a bigger problem. By the Allah, if you cut it, you'll cut it possibly from the actual branch, and that is the equivalent of breaking off a twig, not from a growing tree, but breaking off a twig. Let's say use it as a toothpick. Muhammad Yama said there's a chi of chantas in such a way of kotma. That's mamish like making a kli. And therefore we're afraid that you'll come to do that on Shabbos. So my binayu, the nafkamina would be, ikbinayu dekati mumanchi. Nafkamina would be if you have a whole pile of hadasim leaves sitting around. And now it's a question, you'll take one to put it in. So if the gezera shami yikdam, there's no moker to be afraid of ktima. If the gezera is because Mishum Marzev, okay, so then we'll answer it. Beisadia, how about pretending basically that you are wearing some heavy felt in order to get it out into, say, a carmelite, and wearing it as clothing, so that you have a beach blanket, basically. Not something you would normally wear. in our terms, would be similar to carrying out. You want to go out for a picnic, but you're not allowed to carry the picnic blanket. So you will put it on you like a talit, or like a Roman toga, and you carry it out, then you get to the park, you spread it out, and you sit down. So could you do such a thing? So besadya, which are felt and are sort of tough to wear. So Rava Sar v'Shmuel Shari. So my focus, Rav and Shmuel. The question, let's define the case. Birakin, if you're talking about something that's soft, really like a blanket, Kuli Amalo Pligidishar, that for sure is mutter, because you really do wear, I mean, it's basically a talit, you're wearing something that's soft. So there everybody would hold its mutter. The kashin, you know, we're talking about something that you normally don't wear and it's hard, you're pretending that you're putting it on you, there also we're not, nobody would argue. That for sure, Kuli Amalo Pligi de Osir. Over there, it's for sure going to be us. Okay, pligi b'mitzoi. We're talking about the kind of thing that is rarely worn. So mandi also, the reason that Rav says over here it's usher is because people will say, he's carrying this on Shabbos for a picnic. And therefore, we ask it because it's michsi k'masi. Even though, technically speaking, the fact that you were miyachid and as a beged would give it as a din of a beged and you were allowed to carry your rishis harabim. But it's nearer like carrying. Uman deshori lo mechzik amasa. The one who says it's mutter. So what do you mean it looks like masa? The fact is you've got it wrapped around you like a toga. So who's going to say that therefore you're allowed to carry? So it's lo mechzik amasa. And the truth is, Rav never said beferish that it's aser. Somebody jumped to conclusion. Because what happened was, it wasn't beferish itma, it was mechlola itma. The Rav ikla lahu after the lahavi le'rivcha. Rav came to a particular place where they had a small house. A lot of people came. They wanted to hear Rav's drasha. He was making over there a tish. And there was no place to sit. So nothing, Yati Bakarmali, they went outdoors to a park to sit. And they brought Rav, Aitele Besagya. They brought him this way, a blanket to sit on, felt. And he refused to sit. And lo yativ, so manda chaza, people that were standing there figured, the reason he didn't want to sit was because they had carried it out into a carmelite. He didn't want them to do this because it was mirzi kemasri. So he wanted to teach them that you can't do such a thing. So manda chaza sovim shum de beisad yasev alohi. That comes of jumping to conclusions. You know why he didn't sit? Because Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who indeed were Talmidim of Rav, but who Rav treated like Chaverim, because they already were in high darga, he didn't want to sit when they were standing. He held it wasn't nice. So they had brought out the Vadim only for him, and they hadn't been Mechabit, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, so he refused to sit. The truth is that Rav himself had once given a drosha that you're allowed to carry out a beach blanket in this way. Rav was machris besadya's mutter. The reason he didn't sit is bishum kavod rabotenu lo yashav alav. He refused to sit on it as covered. Ma ninu, who is rabotenu? Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who were talmidim chaverim of Rav, and therefore it was impolite to sit if they had to stand. Okay, I see that people are in a rush to get out of here. So, and you always do it with a bang. You didn't bang your Gemara today. You don't want to do it with a bang? He's got this idea. He figures going out with a bang means leaving Shir with a bang in your Gemara. It should not be any worse than that.
May I digress for a second?
No, you always digress.
Well,
okay, so we'll continue tomorrow. Or Saba Josh had been practicing, it isn't right. All right, let's do it. 2 minutes. Notnim tafshila tochabor b'shvil shiyahi shamur. Now we had all of these issues in earlier frokim. Remember where we had discussed in yonim of Erev Shabbat. A lot of these things are done on Erev Shabbat, so we quoted that. So here you want to put your cholent into a well. I'm obviously without water in a place where it's going to be cool and therefore it won't rot overnight. So you're allowed to put it inside of a bor, b'shvil shiyeh shamur. You could take a bottle of good water, May Aiden, you take this bottle and you put it inside of a well of water that is not really ready to drink, but it's cool, and they don't mix, obviously, the bottle is closed. Bishvilshi Yitzananu, in order for it to cool off, there's nothing wrong with cooling off on Shabbos. Vetatzonein Bechama, some have the gears that Tatzonein Bechamin, you could put cold water into the sun or into warm water. Bishvilshi Yechamu, in order for them to warm up, as long as it can, they're not going to be cooking it. Mishin Nashru Kelav Baderek B'mayim, somebody who got wet when he was walking and he fell into a puddle or something, he could continue to walk with them on Shabbos in that way. It's not considered to be Masa, it's bottled to his bed yet. Veino Choshesh, he doesn't have to be Choshesh that people are going to think maybe he washed his clothes on Shabbos and he's walking out with wet clothes. You don't have to be Choshesh for that. But as soon as you get to the first place, you can take your clothes off, which people will not steal it. It's a Mokum Shamur. You can ask the people, can I leave my clothes here? Shotchan Bechama, you could spread them out in the sun to dry, and we don't pass in this. Avalo Kenegan Am, you cannot do that in places where there are people, because they'll be chayshid. What, this guy spreading out, hanging up his clothes to dry on Shabbos, he must have just done a wash. Now, Pshita, what is the problem of putting something into a bar? I don't understand. There's some kind of chiddush over here. There's no heat in the bar. Why shouldn't I be allowed to take a pot and put it in a bar on Shabbos? What possible stretch of the imagination would be also with that? Ah, because ma'ad ha'tema, nigzer mishum ha'shviyei gumot. Maybe you might think that, let's say you put the pot down and the ground isn't smooth and it's on an angle and maybe something will spill out of the pot. So you want to make it smooth. So you take your pot and you smooth it out now on the bottom, and then you might come to be mashva gumot, which is an iser on Shabbos. Come mashva, we're not cheshish. What's the chiddush in that? What, you could put stuff into a refrigerator, I understand. What's the chiddush? Pshita. The truth is, there's no chiddush. It's just, since we wanted to talk about putting cold water into hot water, so we started off by saying putting it into cold water. Safe it's trichalai. That you could put the tzonein, again, our gears is chamas and chamin. What would be the chiddush of putting into something that can't cook it? Because now the tamen exudim asim is putting the remet. See, there might be a chashash that if you're going to warm up the water on Shabbos, so you'll put it into hot coals. Once you put it into hot coals, we have always a gezeirah that you may end up causing them now to flame up again, as we had all through the first prokim. So over there, we might be chashash kamash malon, being mad to you to leave something in the sun or to leave something in warm water. Nobody's going to jump to conclusion from that he can actually be matmin and remetz on Shabbos.
He doesn't say what he's there, though.